I do think I'm right.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
How do you know that I'm not saying what I'm saying today because I want to be wrong?
Because you don't do I want to be wrong.
Nobody
and you also
does.
Don't do, but...
Nobody some, does.
Yes, they do.
Who?
There's a guy who goes by the name Nick Wrong, and...
Well, he doesn't think he goes by that name.
And Stephen A. Smith, and your favorite, Skip Bayless, and Shannon Sharp, and I could name another six or seven of these hot takers who don't really care about quote-unquote being wrong. They want reaction, but you don't do that. You do authentic radio, and even though at times you're full of it, it's what you believe, and that is what I love about you. Sometimes I don't agree with you, and I think that you
I hope not. That would be the most boring thing ever.
Oh, Mark, you said it. Great point, buddy. No, but...
It would be nicer if you said that once in a while.
I do. Well, like, I have a couple times, but the opinions you give... are authentic, as are mine, and that's why I think our show works.
Let's dive into the opinions then right now. 888-957-9570. The question we threw out is, how do you feel now versus how you felt after Week 8 in the three-game losing streak last year? Kirk Cousins and Joe Burrow had just torched the defense. The defense was fully healthy. The defense had Fred Warner, had Dre Greenlaw. The defense was a much more known quantity at that time and was getting torched. And the answers were not evident. But I will say, and I hope that nothing that has come out today makes it sound like I don't think there are any concerns. Of course there are. That was awful on Sunday. I just think that as we assess the team, it needs to be done in a little bit more of a week-to-week basis as opposed to projecting forward what we see now as something that is going to last for the whole year. Like, I bet I could ask you a different question and you would think it was a laughable question. Do you think the Niners are going to look like this for the rest of the year?
What is this?
This.
Like, what is this?
Like the
great
last
offense and a bad defense?
No, just however you want to assess what they've been the last 2 weeks. You think they're going to look like that for the rest of the year?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
See, I don't.
Yes, I think that the defense is... by and large, overrated. This is not a top three team that we all thought they were going to be going into the year. And we all were drooling over this roster. And I said it about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I might have even said it at the Red and Gold Summit, that their top 22, the starting 11 and the other starting 11, that might be the best in football, but the depth of this roster is something that I was calling into question. And that's been proven out here through 3 weeks, where the depth, where you don't have Fred Greenlaw and you don't have Deebo Samuel and you don't have Christian McCaffrey, and Jordan Mason's been awesome, so that maybe doesn't bolster my argument as far as this goes, but the depth of your roster has not been great, and your defensive coordinator has not been an upgrade.
Well, I mean, I think that depth is such an interesting thing in sports, and I think that in our town, we love it because the Golden State Warriors once upon a time coined the phrase strength in numbers. But I'd argue that our love for the 49ers in recent years, the reason that they are just so eye-popping and everything, has nothing to do with depth. That's not like, the depth of the Giants got challenged this year, and it ended up laughable. A first baseman got hurt, and the next thing you knew, some guy named Trenton.
Trenton Brooks, don't hate on him.
No, not a major league player. Like, flat out not a major league player. Sorry to his family. That's my opinion.
Well, the depth actually was a big issue for the Giants.
Yes.
And the depth for the 49ers, I do think, is a big issue. Because
right.
you have a linebacker who cannot do what you need him to do. And you've got a new corner who is committing PI, unnecessary PI. And now you've got a defensive line that's going to have to lean on depth. And you let Eric Armstead go. And everybody thought, well, yeah, I mean, Eric Armstead, whatever.
Oh, he was
and
hurt now, a lot, yeah.
Yeah, but your D-line has not been that good this year without Eric Armstead. And you've got a wide receiver that you played who cannot receive. Yes, he can get wide, as in open, but he can't receive. So you should change his position to wide dropper. He's a WD, because that's all he did. And you've got an offensive line on the right-hand side that is porous, including your right tackle, who was supposed to replace your previous right tackle, who wasn't very good. And now this guy's not very good. And Brock Purdy fumbles because Colton McKivitz got chopped on a simple pass rush where the defensive end just chopped his arm away. He swatted him away like a pesky fly in midsummer when you left the screen door open. You got issues with your roster.
Of course you do, but you can't be so excited with a top-heavy roster and then get upset when it doesn't have depth. Like, that should have been known. And I would argue it was.
Right.
The 49ers coming into this type of a season, or even the last one for that matter, one of the reasons that they had such a good year is that they were relatively healthy last year. You know, Trent misses three games, Debo misses three games, whatever. But relatively, you made it through the year healthy, which when you have a star-laden roster, that's great. But if three or four of them get hurt, which has now happened, well, now what? Your depth is going to be challenged because you're top-heavy. You're paying a ton of guys. It's just like an NBA roster. It's just like the Golden State Warriors. If you're going to pay that amount of money for a small amount of people, well, then when you get to the Anthony Lambs of the world, don't expect it to be fancy, because it's not.
Well, that's a you problem.
Sure.
And that's
I'm not backing it. I'm just telling them, like, what? That's something that if we liked the roster coming in, you have to accept that fact.
Well, you only accept the fact if you excuse the way they went about things. And by the way they went about things is Trent was able to hold out and you reworked his deal, and Ayuk was able to hold you over a barrel and you gave him $30 million, and Christian McCaffrey, and the word is that they knew that he was dinged up last year in the playoffs with the same injury, and yet you gave him a bunch of money and he's yet to even play a snap. So if this is how you want to do things, then great. It's your team, but then don't come out after three games and talk to me about how your roster's too thin.
No, yeah, I don't think anybody is.
And the only
one
I will forgive, and you have to forgive it, is the Ricky Pearsall situation.
Of course.
Because I do think if he hadn't gotten shot, he probably would have been playing maybe in place of Ronnie Bell in week three.
I mean, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, that's not, I'm not like mad at the 49ers for that.
I'm not mad at anyone about it. But when you pay and rely on older players who have had some injuries in their past and then they get hurt again, don't be stunned.
Skills and Vallejo. Hey, Skills, you're on with Willie and Dibby. What's up?
Yo, what is up, Willie and Dibby? Let me set this up real quick. Years ago, I used to be a little boy, but I didn't dream about, like a lot of kids, about becoming ball players. I want to be like an executive or, you know, a team owner or something like that. I want to deal with I want to be in charge, basically. But it's a good thing that that never happened, because it's been proven, I don't have the patience or the temperament for that role. And the case in point is Mr. Ronnie Bell. Because after that first drop on Sunday, the first one that counted, he would have been cut on the spot. And then after the second drop later on in the game, or he kind of jumped four and let it go, he would have been cut again. I'm telling you, I would have cut at least four or five guys during and after that game, Willard and Dibbs. I'm telling you this. And so it's a good thing that never happened. One of the dudes I would have cut also, aside from Bell, was Jake Moody. And I don't know if you guys remember going way back, the old Rangers and A's pitcher, Bobby Witt Sr. Do you guys remember him?
Of course.
California Angels.
Yeah, he lost the perfect game due to a blown call. Remember that guy very well. But early in his career, he was throwing 95 before anybody else was really, well, not many guys were doing it like now. But he never had any clue where that ball was going, and he ended up walking like 150 guys a year. That's Moody. He's got all that power in his leg, but he's got no finesse. He's got no touch. He never has any clue where it's going once it hits his foot. And I'm telling you, after, except for maybe one brief moment around week four last year, I've never once trusted this guy. And I'm ready to replace him, even though I know the Niners won't, because he was such a high draft pick.
Well, I struggle with that. Skills, thank you very much. I'm far from sold, like, on Jake Moody. Like, that's the Niners kicker for a while. I'm far from sold on that. However, I'm also far from ready to be like he's not. That was the first kick that he missed this year. It was from 55 yards. Does he need to make that? Sure. But I'm sorry, find the kicker in the NFL that doesn't miss a kick. Like, I don't even know through 3 weeks if is anybody perfect? Has anybody nailed all of them so far?
I'll look it up. I'm sure there's a few kickers. We can probably find a few
that have made it through 3 weeks, but like, I don't know, man. That's pretty tough. You're going to cut a guy because he missed one 55-yard kick? This is 2 weeks removed from being the special teams player of the week.
And if you look at 55-yarders, kicks from 55 yards and greater, it's probably a 50-50 proposition. I did have the stat yesterday where 50-plus field goals are made at a 72% clip.
Yep.
But you get to 55, and it becomes a little bit of a different calculus.
All right, let's keep riding. 888-957-9570. How do you feel now versus how you felt after week 8 and the 3-game losing streak last year? We'll keep taking your calls. Remember, Doc Pandia with Dre Greenlaw, Christian McCaffrey conversation is coming up at 4, but coming up next, he's flat out one of our favorites. Man, he tells it. So here he comes. And we're going to get into BA and much more with TJ Houshmandzadeh next on Willard and Dibs.
Pause. Man, y'all don't know the game, man.
He ain't better than me.
Oh, that's not fair. That don't have nothing to do with me.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's keep riding, rocking, rolling. Concern level is kind of what we're all talking about after a surprising 1-2 start for the Niners. Let's keep with it. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're streaming live on Twitch and YouTube, twitch.tv/957TheGame, youtube.com/957TheGame, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. But let's talk to our guy. This is always fun, and I feel like I always get a little extra perspective, always learn something. Joining us on the River Islands guest line is TJ Houshmandzadeh on Willard and Dibs. Hey, brother, what's going on?
I'm pretty good, man. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing fine, but we're not doing what we thought we would be doing after 3 weeks of the NFL season. Why don't you tell everybody, Niner fans out here, like, what should their level of concern be right now?
Scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably say 6 or 7. And when your best players aren't playing, it's hard to win. It's very simple. Debo didn't play. McCaffrey didn't play. Kittle didn't play. It's hard. You go to any team in the National Football League, if you're missing those caliber players, you're probably going to lose. I don't care who you play. And so from that perspective, just specifically yesterday's game, yeah, they're playing the Rams. The Rams have a lot of injured players as well. And so you can look and say, well, the Rams were injured. You know, Puka's not playing and Cooper Kupp isn't playing. They beat us. I get it. And so they say, well, what do you have to say about that? I don't know what to say about that. Brock Purdy will be coming up contract soon. He needs to win those type of games so that he can justify the amount of money that his agents are going to be asking for.
And I get that, and he needs to win it, and they need to win it. But when you look at the late sequence, and you got to throw to Ronnie Bell down the right sideline, and he drops it, is that one where you look at Brock Purdy and say, yeah, that's one you need to win?
No, I mean, players got to make plays. And, like, when you're a player like Ronnie Bell, who I know, I don't know him a ton, but I know Ronnie pretty decent. When you're a backup, you must make all plays. That's why you're a backup, because they don't believe you can make those plays in those moments. And when you don't make them, you stay a backup. Had he made that play, he would have been given more opportunity, because Kyle Shanahan would have developed a trust in him that, hey, I need to get this guy more involved. He made a big play for us. And so for him, it's unfortunate. I just feel like they need, in these situations, Ayuk, they need to lean on him. They need to lean on B.A. They need to treat Ayuk like the Cowboys treat CeeDee Lamb. 10, 12, 15 targets. You know what's going to him. Stop him. That's what you paid him for. Lean on him. When you have Kittle and Debo out, Ayuk should get 12 to 15 targets a game. If he isn't getting those type of targets, something is wrong.
TJ, I know exactly how a lot of our listeners feel when you say that. He got 10 targets. He's got four or five drops already this year. Like, be real with us and tell us what you see with regard to not the targets that he's not getting, but the targets that he is getting.
First of all, specifically, you know, when he dropped the touchdown, but it's kind of wandered in water under the bridge. You win the game. The drops aren't never magnified until you lose. I know that firsthand because I was a guy that pretty much caught 99% of the balls thrown to me. And then I dropped the ball in the playoffs, and I'm like, whoa, did I just drop that ball? Like, I had never in my life dropped the ball that mattered. And so it happens. It happens. I just think with B.A., you miss all the training camp. You're in shape, but you're not in football shape. You're not really ready to go. And deep down, we all want to show that I'm worth what I have just received. And so you have a tendency to press, and you try too hard. It'll come a time, and I think that time should be very soon, where you just kind of relax and go back to just playing ball because you got the money, and people may say this and that, and you can respond back with expletives if you want to, but ultimately, we want to prove that we're worth every penny that we got, and we got to relax to do that, and I expect them to.
And I'm hoping that happens sooner rather than later, but when you watch him on tape through the first three games, what are you seeing from B.A. as opposed to what we've all seen the last couple of years?
No, it's business as usual. He's going to create separation. He's going to get open. You just got to get open and catch the ball. It's not like he's not getting open. Go watch it. The same thing. I know Juwan Jennings, he got off yesterday. I honestly would have preferred for him to get the targets that Juwan had and Juwan get the targets that B.A. had. That's what I'm doing if I'm Shanahan, because that's what I paid him for. That's what I paid him for. You locked in with B.A. for the next 2 to 3 years. I'm going to get my money's worth. And so that's what I would prefer to see. That's what I would like to see. But if he's showing you when you're giving him these looks and these targets and these opportunities that he's not getting it done, obviously you're not going to put the team second and him first. If he's making plays, it's going to be helping the team. And so I just always feel like when you pay a player that amount of money, you want him to earn it, because why pay him? Like, the Niners have a great team, but they saw that they needed to keep Ayuk at a number so high. Well, let's go. I'm going to get this money's worth out you. No, I'm not putting a full tank in my car to go ride my bike.
That's a funny one. TJ Houshmandzadeh is with us, former receiver. He has been Brandon Ayuk's personal wide receiver coach as he was coming up as well, joining us here, Willard and Dibs. TJ, you said something in there that I want to circle back to, and that is you'd kind of like to see the targets that went to Juwan go to B.A. and vice versa. That's what you would do if you were Shanahan. It makes me feel like you're saying that the targets are essentially a product of the coach, or are the targets a product of going through progressions and seeing who's open? Where do you put the onus there?
100%. It's not 100% either direction. I think I know football pretty well. I just kind of look like this, and people probably just, you know, the way I look, don't think I understand the game. But when coaches call plays, they call plays with the feel and an understanding of, okay, this is the coverage that I expect on this down when we're in this formation, because this is what they've shown. We call it scouting now. They call it analytics. Analytics has shown they play this coverage 69% of the time, 72% of the time. So when I call this play, I expect it to go here, but it's also a possibility that they may play a different coverage and it has to go here. But if I expect it to go here, I'm putting B.A. in the spot where I expect it to, because if it's between 60 and 70-some percent that they play this coverage, I like the odds of the ball going to B.A. That's how offenses work. Now, it's, oh, he calls the play worth always thrown here. No, coverage dictates where the ball is going to go. But they call plays expecting a certain coverage to get a certain guy the ball.
So you are putting the target distribution on Sunday squarely on Kyle Shanahan.
No, No, because Kyle Shanahan could say, okay, I need to get B.A. the ball. I'm going to call this play. They play this coverage and this down the distance, and you're in this type of formation. Ah, they switch it up on me. Ball goes to Jennings. That happens. That happens. But what I'm saying is, at some point, the higher paid players, our best players, I don't give a damn what the coverage is. I don't give a damn who covered me. Man, give me a chance. Coverage say go here. Nah. I say go here. That's how it has to be. And that's not being selfish. That's just wanting to win. That's being a competitor. Quarterbacks throw the ball. You never should throw a post route in cover three. Single high safety. I've seen Brett Favre do it. You'd be like, no. Oh, good catch. Player makes a play because he believed in him. Like, it happens. Quarterback shouldn't throw the ball. Player makes a play. Good job. You go watch the film. You know you shouldn't have thought that. Yeah, coach, I know. You know, believe in him to make a play. That's why the better players are the better players, because they make those type of plays.
Is B.A. in a spot where he's earned that this year after holding in and missing camp and coming in and being admittedly a little bit behind schedule?
I can't believe you just asked me that. Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And let's just be honest. The contract says it. For what I say, and forget what everybody, the contract says he's earned it. You believe in him. You paid him like he's earned it. So let's go do it. And to me, that I'm just, the fans got, like, I'm sure y'all boo B.A. now when he drop a ball. That's what you get for holding now. You should have never held up. We should have never paid you. All that type of stuff. Trust me when I tell you this. He wants to play better than y'all want him to play. And I think the fans got to understand. Players always want to play better than you want them to play. You mad about fantasy points. You mad that your team lost. Trust me, you do not want me to play better than I want to play for myself. Trust me.
I get that, TJ, but I think fans are just frustrated by the fact that he missed camp and he came out and it seemed like he wasn't fully ready to go in the opener against the Jets, where he had a couple of drops, including the touchdown. Does that not play into the game plan and the thinking offensively to maybe give somebody else more targets?
No, because you know Kyle Shanahan has been around football his entire life. His entire life. Kyle Shanahan is one of the greatest offensive football minds that I've seen. The way he can draw up plays and get guys open, and his creativity, like his mind. Kyle Shanahan's mind is language. I'm sorry. Copying the things that he likes to do offensively because it's so creative, because his mind thinks differently than others. He knows when B.A. comes back, it's going to be some peaks and some valleys. He knows that because you're in shape, but you really not in shape, or not the way you need to be to play football. And so it's going to come. You don't go away from your better players because they don't make a player too. You go to them more because it shows them you trust them. He's going to find his groove, because if he wasn't, they wouldn't have paid him. They know what he can do. And the Niners are, I guess, in foreign territory. You know, last year they start really well, then they go on a little slump, and then they pick it up again. But trust me, when you got George Kittle, Debo, and McCaffrey out, it's going to be hard to win. I don't care who you are. You take Joe Burrow. Oh, no, let's leave the quarterback in there. You take T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, and take Jamar Chase out. They 0-3. They probably wouldn't score a point. They wouldn't score a point. You take out Travis Kelce and Pacheco and who else from the Chiefs? How are they going? It happens. That defense, when you are missing players offensively, the defense is step up more. When you're missing players on defense, offensively, that's complimentary football, man. That's why football is the ultimate team game. The defense played how you think they played yesterday against the Rams.
Not good, TJ.
Terrible.
Not good.
The defensive side of the ball was the much bigger problem, TJ.
That's my point. If the defense steps, like, people talk about Patrick Mahomes all the time. Man, it's Chris Jones in that defense. Chris Jones in that defense is really the unsung hero when an offense is not doing well. And that was a lot last year.
Yep.
And so they play complimentary football. When you have players missing on offense, Nick Bosa and Fred Warner say, you know what, get on our back, we got you. That's what has to happen.
DJ Hushman's out of with us here on Willard and Dibs. I was hesitating to sort of bring this up, but I've been thinking about this all summer. And TJ, I wonder if you would submit that Niner fans have a right to be a little frustrated about this part of the story. Because even Brandon came in and said, you know what, I was probably a bigger pain in the rear at the end than I needed to be. Do you remember us talking to you 3 months ago, and you were like, dude, if you give him the Amon-Ra offer, he's here. And then, according to the reports, he got the Amon-Ra offer the very first week in August, and he didn't show up. He waited 2-3 more weeks and missed camp, and now is having a slow start to the season. Is that not fair for a 49er fan to be frustrated by that today?
Nah, it's fair. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm on the phone with BA like, bro, take the deal. I swear to God.
And what did he say? When you said that, what did he say?
He would, like, we didn't, like, this is the thing, like, I don't really try to get so involved, and that's his business, his family's business, and the Niners. But if I felt just like, bro, take the deal, he'd just be like, yeah, we just got to make a couple more things right, and I am. And I'm not going to push him. BA, a grown man, I can give him advice. But, I, you know, when I'm a retired player, I just try to help the player out as much as I can. And I put myself in his position. I would listen to somebody else, but ultimately, I'm going to do what I want to do. I would take your advice, but I'm ultimately going to do what I want to do. And so I literally told him, I said, no, take the deal. And he's like, I am. They just need to do this and do that. I'm like, okay. Fans have every right to be angry. Fans are fans. You know, it's derived from the word fanatic. And you just look up that meaning. And I get it. You want your team to win. But like I said earlier, you do not want me to do better than I want to do. And I hope and I truly believe he's going to play. But when you've been as good as the Niners have been, and I got some really friends that are Niners fans. Oh, they were so mad at me yesterday because they sent me a message. I can't believe it. I said, shut up. They be mad over one game that they lose. Like, y'all got one of the best teams in the league, and you mad, and we lost to the Rams. They got nobody. Well, you got nobody. And so you got B.A. on offense, who we know, cheating. I paid you $30 million a year. Mark, I paid you $30 million a year. You can't bring this game home? Well, we don't know because they didn't feed him.
Yeah, 10 targets on Sunday. Yep. It felt like he had plenty of chances to eat, but he put some of that food on the floor.
Hey, Malik Nabers is a rookie. He's getting more targets than B.A. He's a rookie. He's a rookie. Like, I know I love football. Malik Nabers is a rookie. He's getting more targets than B.A. CeeDee Lamb had, what, 50 more targets than B.A. last year. This is the perfect time when you have Deebo and Kittle out to feed him so that he can show and prove. Or he doesn't. As a head coach, I would love this. Let's see if he can carry us. Let's see if he can do what we paid him to do. And it was against the Rams, a divisional opponent who you know very well, who's also injured, who also has their best player. That's just me. If the players, the plays matter, but the players get it done. That's just what I believe.
Yeah, I mean, TJ, it's interesting because I know a lot of people are sitting there going like, does the wide receiver have any responsibility at all in getting those targets?
You got to get open.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You got to get open.
I mean, Juwan.
I'm not throwing it to a dude that's getting strapped up.
Right.
Absolutely,
but
not.
Like Jennings had he had one incompletion the whole game. So doesn't that sort of like, you know what I mean? Doesn't that sort of warrant the targets?
For me as a viewer, when I watch games, I don't watch them from the All-22 copy. For the fans, that's where you can see the entire play. You can see the coverage. You can see the route. I've yet to do that. But I'm sure that if BA is not getting open, everything that I said is hogwash. It's a bunch of nothing. But I just don't see a guy that got open all the time last year not getting open this year because he got paid. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably should mention that late play when Brock scrambled and BA was kind of open deep down the middle of the field.
By himself down the middle of the field.
I probably shouldn't mention that to you, TJ.
And what happened?
He didn't throw it to him.
Nice scramble. He picked up a gutsy little 6 yards.
Now he threw it to Juwan Jennings.
Right. And so if you throw it to him, now he finishes with 100 yards in the game, and maybe the complexion of the game may have turned and changed.
Or he drops it.
That's fair.
I'm sorry, TJ. Like, you don't know. We don't know.
Y'all are hard. You know what's so crazy, though, man? I meet fans all the time, and, like, I try to be as nice as possible because I hate athletes. I really do hate athletes that think they're better than other people because you're an athlete. Like, bro, just because you're good in football or basketball, don't act like you're better. I hate when they do that.
That's why we love you. Like, go ahead.
I interact with fans, and they'll talk trash to me here and there, like in a fun way. So then you just start playing catch with them. Like, bro, you're catching the ball two times and nobody's on you. Like, if you're in a game, that's a drop. Like, you're not even running. You're standing, like, playing football is hard. Like, every time you throw me the ball, it's a possibility that I'm going to drop it. But I don't believe so. Like, give him these opportunities because you paid him. One of y'all I want y'all to go purchase a new home and don't live in it. How that sound? That sounds kind of crazy, right?
Well, you had
me. I could.
Yeah, you had me at purchase a home. I'm in.
And don't live in it. Like, it's like a waste of money. So I say that to say, like, Niners, like, get your money's worth. BA's your home. Now let's go live in it.
Yeah.
Let's get our money's worth.
TJ, you get the dynamic, though. You get the dynamic, which is it's not – nobody's, like, rooting against BA. It's that there are still feelings there because of the way this went down. And now that it's bled into the season, you get it.
They should feel that way. And this, they should feel, I'm not saying they don't have a right to feel that way. I'm saying if the game is going through him and they're not winning, then it's a problem.
Yeah, well,
The offense isn't going through him. Like when we were playing and you played us and it was third down, everybody knew they were throwing me the ball. Everybody knew they were throwing me the ball. I would get double teamed and I would catch it. They knew it was coming to me. I still caught it. They know Chad is going down the field. He's still going to catch the ball. The game went through us. It went through Chad. It went through me. And everybody knew it. Like, I remember playing the Jets and Eric Mangini double team me and Chad the entire game. And forced somebody else to win the game. Because he's like, I'm not going to let you two beat me. Force the ball to BA until they completely take him out of the game. And somebody else will step up. But Shanahan's offense isn't like that. I get it. And that's what makes – that's the beauty of it. But when I give you $30 million a year, you earn that money.
TJ, thank you, man. But
As always.
Yeah, love it when you come on. Thank you, brother.
Hey, man, y'all, and take care. Enjoy yourself. I don't dislike the Niners because my friends love them so much. I'd be talking trash to them.
Hey, like, that's what we're doing here, man. It's all good. It's all good.
It can be a lot worse, man. Look at these teams that are not like the Niners. So it can be a lot worse, man. It's cold outside and hell is hot. Always remember that.
Yep. Hey.
Knowledge.
Talk to you soon, man. Thank you so much.
All right,
there he goes. TJ Houshmandzadeh. We'll react to that in a sec. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Come on. Those takes fair or foul? 888-957-9570. Your call's next. Doc Pandy in 20 minutes on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
I think we got to just jump right to this. You paid him 30. You feed him. Agree?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes.
Please explain.
Well, you paid him to be the guy, so let him be the guy. And I look at 10 targets, and yes, Juwan Jennings got 12. That, for me, is not a problem. Now, if Juwan Jennings had 12 and Brandon Ayuk had 5, and he had catches on all 5, and the targets were 12-5, then I think that you would have a case. But you paid him to be the one, and Juwan Jennings got more targets because two things. One, I do think Juwan Jennings was open more, and also he was on a little bit of a heater. And I wanted to ask TJ that the phone was a little bit choppy, and so, you know, we didn't get a chance to get into everything, and thankfully we'll get TJ on again because he's such a good guest and a friend of the program and all the rest of it. But I wanted to ask him about when you have a receiver who's on that kind of a heater where he has the Randy Moss catch, he's got a sliding catch, he's got one in triple coverage, he's got 3 touchdowns. In that case, as an offense, do you want to like ride the hot hand? Is there such a thing in football as riding the hot hand?
I got to admit what I feel is at least a small bit of confusion coming out of that conversation. And here's what I mean. If the world's going to compliment Brock Purdy for what? What does he do so well?
He sees the field.
Okay. So if you're going to move through progressions, and that's what you do really well, and then the ball ends up where it ends up, how are we then going to turn around and go what feels to me like the exact opposite direction, which is that's your boy, force it to your boy? Like that doesn't add up to me. And when one receiver catches all but one of his targets and goes for 3 touchdowns, and outside of one play where he ripped the ball out of someone else's hands, outside of that, was very open, especially on his touchdown throws. Holy hell, very, very open. I have a hard time with the idea of Brock is out there going through progressions and he sees something like, dude, fire, throw. It's that quick. You're supposed to ignore now what you see? Like, TJ made it sound like Kyle Shanahan's playing Madden. And he's just going to push the A button, because Brandon is the A player. And my perception, I get what he's saying to a point, that you're going to scheme something and you feel like, based on this defense, that's likely where the ball is going to go. But how many times have you heard Kyle even say, like, that's not where we thought the ball was going to go, and that's where the ball ended up going? I just don't think that it makes sense for you to go to the line of scrimmage like I do in Madden, because I'm almost 50 and I don't have the hand-eye coordination for the 8 buttons on the Xbox controller. I go to the line of scrimmage, I already know who I'm throwing the ball to, because I'm not going through progressions while my teenage kids tackle my quarterback.
Right.
That's not the way to play in the NFL, though. Not going to, like, locking in on someone pre-snap because you paid him $30 million, that doesn't, like, I get where he's coming from, but that doesn't feel like the way to play football.
Not at all, especially when you have Kyle Shanahan in the scheme and you're trying to scheme a guy open. And I'm just thinking about how many plays that they ran where Ayuk was open and they chose to go elsewhere and it didn't work. And the one play, which I mentioned, was when Ayuk was wide open down the middle of the field on a broken coverage and Brock Purdy appeared to see him and chose not to make the 50-yard throw, and he took the easy throw to Jennings, and, you know, they got, I think, 6 yards out of it, and ultimately it did not result in them winning the football game. But outside of that, it seems like every time he went Jennings' way, Jennings was open and it worked. I mean, he was 11 of 12 on catches versus targets.
And the other side to this conversation, and I think that we accurately brought it up with TJ, is this. There is absolutely no escaping that he has dropped 4 of the targets that he does have. I'm sorry. You can't escape that. You may not. You cannot just decide that I know you paid me $30 million, so you've got to stick with it. There is a culpability for that at minimum on both sides. I don't think BA is, quote, not getting open, at least not consistently. So I'll give him his credit for that. I think that he has been open. I think he does have some catches, and there have been a few times where he's open and he didn't get the ball. So that's fine to be part of the conversation. But to sort of strike this tone, you paid me 30, now you need to feed me and let me show you what I can do. But three games into the year, you've got five drops, one of them in the end zone. And the tone that you set coming out of that is, come on, Kyle, feed me the ball. No. No. You dropped the ball. A lot. And TJ admitted to us that he said to Brandon straight on the phone in early August, dude, take the deal. Oh, we need to figure a couple other things out. Do you? Are those things worth this? You're 1-2 with five drops, and your wide receiver three got more yards in the first half last week than you have all year. So no. Like, I think it's impossible to get away scot-free on this one and say they're not feeding him the ball enough. That's a hard take for me to hear.
Jennings, 21 targets through three games. Brandon Ayuk, 20 targets through three games. So does Brandon need to have 30 targets through three because he's making $30 million? Now, Debo's got 19 targets through two games, yep. and he played two full games. And he went out at the very, very end of that game.
And Brandon, remember, did not play his full complement at least week one.
Right, and yep. he played most of the complement in game two. And, you know, one of the targets he did get on Sunday was what Adam Amin on the play-by-play called a pop pass, which is where Brock Purdy's in the pistol, and he just, boop, you know, flips it forward, which counts as a target and yep. a catch. That was one of the catches he did get. So if they would have targeted Brandon Ayuk a little bit more, would they have won the football game? I don't think so.
Wow.
I look at if you don't commit two ghastly PIs and miss a field goal and have Ronnie Bell drop a pass that would put you into surefire field goal range, you win the game. For me, it wasn't about BA's targets. That, to me, was not the difference between winning and losing that game.
Well, that even that position group was not. Like, I think you could make that point if you're like, the Niners got beat 24-10, and every time Brock went back to throw the ball, like, you know, he threw it to other wide receivers, and none of them performed. Well, quite the opposite is obviously true. If we're had a list of problems from Sunday, how many do you say out loud before you get to the quarterback wide receiver connection? I'd argue it was the only thing that worked.
Outside of Ronnie Bell.
Well, right. And that was two plays, and he's wide receiver five, even with one of them hurt.
But he was wide receiver three on Sunday.
Well, no, that's on that particular play. But
well,
I mean,
Conley had no catches, no targets. Yes. So I mean, he was basically wide receiver three. The only catch he got was on that whatever they call it, the okie doke or the final play of the game where
Ronnie
pitchy,
Bell's catch.
Pitchy, yeah. woo woo. Yep. That was Ronnie Bell's only catch
correct.
Of the game. But your top two receivers went 16 for 223 and three touchdowns. Jennings and Ayuk combined. So I don't think that the wide receiver, and as we've discussed, they do a lot of two-receiver sets with Kyle Juszczyk on the field or two tight ends or both. And so you're a two-wide receiver team, and your two wide receivers went 16, 223, and three touchdowns. So to your point, that was not the issue. That was not the problem.
That was not the issue. And TJ knows that to a degree when he spoke about defense. That's the Niners' problem right now. And look, you know, you wrote this on YouTube, and I think this is incredibly accurate. For anybody who's listening to TJ, and they're going, well, this sounds quite biased to me. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we could have Nick Bosa's mom on again, and you'd be like, you know what? I think she likes Nick.
Thank you.
Like, well, yeah, TJ works directly. He's a wide receiver, and he works directly with Brandon, and they talk all the time.
Oh, that's not fair.
So, yes, he is biased, and you called it telegraphed.
Right.
And it is.
Yeah.
So, but I don't
think every interview has to be a neutral party. And, you know, I thought when you and I when we have TJ on, he's open to the hard question.
Yeah.
He's able to answer it, and I think that's great.
Completely. I don't think that means that you're not getting anything out of the conversation. I just think the one area, maybe it's two areas where I disagree with TJ is when he says, look, when you're not winning, you got to feed your guy the ball. And I'm thinking, well, hold on a second. That's not why you're not winning. Brock dropping back and finding a wide receiver is not why you're not winning. That had literally nothing to do, I'd argue, with the two losses that they had. Certainly not this week's loss. Certainly not this week's loss. So, you know, the other side to it being simply the idea that in a Shanahan offense with a Brock Purdy-style quarterback, all these compliments that we've given to him over the last 2 years with regard to the way he processes and sees the field and goes through progressions and all of the things that he feels, now you want this offense of like, dude, drop back and just force it to your guy so he can show you how great he is. I don't know. I'm not really interested in that. I'm not interested in Brandon showing off. I'm interested in Brandon making the plays that are offered to him. And so far this year, he hasn't done it very well.
Right, and Kyle is not interested in that either. And you could look at last year when you had Christian and George and Debo and Brandon all healthy for almost the entire year, and the target share was very balanced. And that's what Kyle wants. He wants to run it and pass it 50% apiece, and he wants to be able to spread the ball around to a number of different weapons. And when you don't have Debo or George or Christian, that becomes more difficult.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, and we're glad you are, right here at KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.